Laura Kay with Chat 360, and today I'm getting kind of back to my roots a little bit, as I was an art major at Seton Hill University, and art has always been very important to me. So the topic today is urban art or street art, and we're going to talk about the difference between those two names and the importance of urban art. And I couldn't even have dreamed of a better partner to join me today on my podcast than Raphael. You probably know him as Ralph Pantalone, who is, I think, one of the greatest. Do you call yourself an urban artist or a street artist, Ralph?
I'm one of those artists that doesn't get arrested for painting on walls. So I think I would be an street artist.
Okay. All right. So thanks for being with me today, Ralph. Ralph and I went to school together, believe it or not, back in high school. He was a senior and I was a lowly freshman, and he still talked to me, which was odd.
That's because Laura's a great artist and we're good acquaintances back in the art room, saying hello to each other, sharing art ideas.
Yes, we did. Now, you went a little further with your art than I did with mine. But anyway, urban art, what is the concept of that? It is a cross-section of artists, and they cover traditional street artists working in formal gallery spaces, like you would go to the museums and see their art. But also, it covers artists that are using traditional media with a subject matter that could deal with maybe contemporary urban culture or political issues. Now, Ralph, you have been a street artist for how long now?
Probably all my life. When I grew up in West Pittsburgh Street and drew all over the walls inside our funeral home. So yeah, for pretty much my entire life, going on 60 years.
Okay, and you have such a great style to you. And you have told me today that you have traveled across the country, not just, and around the world, actually.
Right.
With your mural painting.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. Being a school teacher, I had summers off, so I traveled quite a bit. And through the travelings, every now and then, they come across the wall, talk to a business owner. So I got to the point where I could say I have artwork on all seven continents and over 100 countries and all 50 states.
All roads
lead back here to Greensburg. That's my favorite place.
And you're back.
Right,
And it's so good to see you again. So is urban art important, do you think?
It definitely is. And it traces back to when people weren't as literate and illiterate, and they couldn't read. And so everything from the churches would have paintings to represent things instead of through words. You know, whether there was some kind of social injustice going on, people would head to the streets and paint things because they wanted people to see it in the public. And that always appealed to me because I enjoy the fact that instead of my artwork being confined to a small space that only a select few people see, like in a gallery space, this way, by seeing it out in the public, they have an opportunity to go by it and they definitely get an opinion on it, you know, good or bad. And that way I'm able to translate and transmit some information to them pretty much on a daily basis.
And I think what you said, you made a really good point, that urban art, how it affects the environment, is it makes art more accessible to people that might not normally, you know, want to go to a gallery space, or maybe they don't have that around where they're from,
but they can
relate to it.
Well, I apologize for talking over you.
That's okay.
But yeah, and it definitely breaks down the barrier with, you know, whether it's economics or status with, you know, especially other countries I've been, there's definitely some places do have a status situation where like the upper class and the lower class, and they don't get to see the same things. This way here, it opens it up to everybody gets to have an impact of whatever I create.
Now, do you think, is the father of urban art or street art graffiti or no?
That's a good question because right now at the modern times, contemporary, you know, you see a lot of graffiti art and it can be traced back to certain things at certain times. But even like for my travels being over in Italy, in Pompeii, there's examples of graffiti art that were preserved in Pompeii after the explosion of Mount Vesuvius. So that's been going on from the history of time. And when I was in Australia, being able to see the Aboriginal artwork that's been, you know, hand paintings and things that were done, you know, 40 some thousand years ago, they definitely had an urge or desire to put something out there for people to see. So I think it's definitely like the grandfather of everything. I said it would be considered graffiti art probably.
And it's a storytelling process, isn't it?
Right, yeah, especially with the Aborigines. I spent some time with a couple of Aboriginal tribes, and they showed me the traditional techniques they used to make the didgeridoo, the music instrument, where the termites eat through the center of it, and they create artwork. But from talking to them, because I wasn't art teacher, but from talking to them, like art in their languages, there's really no definition for the word art, because in their idea, art is part of their life. And that's the way that they live their life. And it's just part of the way they communicate. Even though they're really gifted artists and there's, you know, collectors put their work up in homes, private collections, and in museums, the fact that that artwork's out in public and everybody's an artist in the Aboriginal eyes. Like, they don't think anybody, you know, you have to be an educated person to be able to do that.
Right.
It's something that you're almost, it's almost like they're willed to do it. Like every person I met has some artwork that they create. So they have respect for theirs and others because it actually portrays their dream time, the beginning of their culture. And it's something that they live to this day, and it's their connection to nature.
It's a creation process.
Right, right.
Okay. And, you know, I might want to get into this a little bit later because I always get on my soapbox having been an art teacher, and you were an art teacher as well.
Yeah. And for those of you out there listening, Laura is actually on a soapbox while we're here talking in the studio. she'll probably cut that out later on.
that I have to stand on it to reach the microphone, basically. So I have felt in the past years that art has kind of taken knocks and been taken out of the schools in some instances.
Right.
It's not as important. And then we wonder why our children are not able to express themselves. They have to go to therapy, or they don't learn eye-hand coordination.
Right.
And you would agree with that then?
Well, definitely, especially since you and I both were, you know, art teachers at one point in time. The fact that, like you said, that really we've seen things where, you know, some years there's more of a support from the public for us to be able to do our things, you know, with the artwork, you know, with the kids.
Yes.
Then there's other times where the budgets are down and you don't get this access. But like you're pointing out, not only do the students have an opportunity to be able to be trained to be able to use skills that are going to help them later on in life, but also they have more of an appreciation for when they see something instead of looking at it and say, oh, so I don't like that. A friend of mine is an art teacher, Jerome D'Angelo, that I taught with, and he told me one time, he said, you know, it's not, because I growing up, my appreciation was like for Michelangelo. You know, in my mind, I thought art was something that had to be realistic, and that's art.
Yes.
And I trained myself to do that, and I became fairly, you know,
well, you're
good
fantastic at it.
Well,
yes.
Well, thank you. But then what happened was, there's an example where I was teaching my students, and like Jerome said, he said, you know, look at these two pictures, and they were done by Pablo Picasso. He had shown the students, and one was done, I told him, I said, these two paintings, this one was done when he was 12 years old, one was done when he was 65. And they always would point to the one that was the realistic one and said, oh, he did that when he was 65 because, you know, he had to train himself. And the other abstracted one, he did that when he was a little kid. I said, no, I said, he was gifted. You know, God gave him that ability, and he had all the great teachers. I said, but he did that really realistic one when he was 12 years old. And he got to the point where, you know what, you know, I could do this, but he started challenging himself, training himself, do things differently. So, yeah, so I think that art in general, you know, whenever people have that opportunity to create something, and there's something out in public, whenever people look at it, I think the more training they get, it builds up their skills. And like you were saying, you know, just for hand-eye coordination, you know, different things. Because in the classroom setting, there's situations where not everybody's going to be a mathematician, not everybody's going to be a scientist.
Right.
And fortunately for myself, because I'm sort of a goofball, if I didn't have that outlet of art, you know, I don't know, you know, what I would have become, because the fact that I had nurturing instructors to be able to lead me in the right direction to be able to use those skills. So.
It does make a difference. Okay, so is there a difference between urban art and street art? Because I asked you at the beginning. Do you consider yourself an urban artist or a street artist? So what is the difference then between those two?
I think that the lines are becoming blurred. It's almost a point now, because I spend most of my time up here in Pennsylvania, but also travel part of the time in Florida. In Florida, there's a really a big movement with graffiti artists and a lot of murals that are created. And it's almost like you'll be walking to a high-end famous museum, and on the way there, you'll be passing up all these great works of art. And even myself, you know, I have my truck parked outside, and it's all painted up to cover the rust, but also because, you know, I figure, you know, I'm driving along, people can see what I make, whatever mood I'm in, I paint something different on it. So in my mind, it's art's everywhere. You know, there's people that might not consider themselves artistic or artists, but they're wearing clothes that are created by some artist or some designer, or driving a vehicle that was created and designed by some artist. So I think that urban art and graffiti, street art, is becoming not really a way to define a difference between them.
Because when I was kind of studying up on this a little bit, they were saying that urban art is the movement of taking street art out of the street and putting it into galleries and museums. So would you agree with that then or not? I guess not really.
Because we're actually, when I was in Brisbane, Australia, about 20-some years ago, maybe it's almost 30 years ago, actually, that what you're talking about, I saw that firsthand, because they took these street artists that were being arrested and then they had to clean up what they had created, but they were taking them. And in the community in Brisbane, the museum saw worth and value in what they were creating. So what they did is they took those artists and they paid them to create in the gallery. And I actually happened to be there and got to meet some of the artists while they're going through the process of transforming these gallery walls with graffiti art. And there and they were going to open it up to the public that was expecting to see work in a setting of a museum. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the museum was actually embracing this and trying to bring, like you said, the outside street art into the more so-called artistic acceptable environment of a museum.
To make it more relevant.
Right. The best part about that was because I ended up coming back to that town, having those artists there, and they talked about why they created the artwork they did, why they did, chose certain subject matter, mm-hmm. the technique that they used, their rebelliousness against society. They'd sneak around, do it at night because they didn't feel like they were accepted in a situation where they had to, were the elite. So it's almost like a separation in their mind. It was a separation between the elite and the common man, which, like I said, goes back to over in Italy and Pompeii, where the common man was the one making these graffiti. It's interesting how it's
changed.
Right. Because, we're all in a period of time now where it's exciting because you see things happening. You wonder where it's headed to next.
Okay. So social benefits, street art, important to keep the urban areas and the residents energized and inspired. So in some areas, artists and building owners are coming together to foster that creativity, mm-hmm. to bring that artwork. And it's viewed as beautifying and reviving a city now,
right,
more than destroying it.
Right.
You are heading for a project this summer.
Yes.
Locally. I don't know if I should mention it yet because I think we might want to keep it a surprise. Mm-hmm. It's within Westmoreland County, mm-hmm. and it is a building. And it's someone that I've talked to that I work with here on WHJB. And I just think that's so exciting. And yours, that piece of art is going to reflect a moment in history, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, and like you pointed out, it's exciting for me because I wasn't even aware that this museum existed. And by me being exposed to it just yesterday,
yes,
I was with the person you talked to, and I was there for, he probably expected me to be there for maybe 5 minutes, but I mean, I just kept talking.
Never there for
right.
5 minutes.
Well, yeah, but I was so impressed with what it housed and the history behind it, and I had done a lot of research. So I'm really excited to do this project because I think what's going to happen is when people drive by and they see the mural, what we're in discussions to be doing right now, that it's going to really open people's eyes to what actually occurred years ago in Westmoreland County, that were the first, and this it will hopefully attract beyond. I know it'll attract people in to see the workings behind this.
And
so we'll keep it a secret.
So then, really, art, urban art or street art, very important part of an identity of place.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anything that you've done that's a political statement, or did I miss it?
You probably missed it because that's the other thing about art is because a lot of times there's things that are right out there in the open people see, and the artist is trying to portray something, or maybe he's been given guidance or guidelines of what to put up there. Mm-hmm. That there's also things that might be I wouldn't say subliminal, but stuff that's sort of like an inside thing that the artist might have that he's also portraying something that they might not necessarily be aware of. I'm not one of those
kind of like a private joke,
right? But I'm not one of those subversive artists. I've used my art like other people have for many different situations for, mm-hmm. If I wanted to try to portray something or I had a little grievance or something. But you were talking about with different places that, it's art is like that sense of place. When I was in Baltimore City, I had an opportunity, the low-income housing students, a lot of them that I taught, the inner-city children, what we did is we were actually able to go to those communities, work with the people that lived there. We had permission from the housing development there to let them decide what they thought was important in their lives and their community, which I would not be aware of, being somebody who just looks from the outside in, and have them design it. And then I've always done this with all my students where, I might sort of like put the parameters or the guidelines around it, but then I would have them definitely take part in what they did. I learned that when I was in Baltimore City because there was a White Tower hamburger chain that was nearby. And I'd always hang, I'm a big eater, so I'd always hang out there. But my students were there on occasion, we talk, and then I drew a picture for one of the waiters, and the manager came out and he said, "Can you do something like this on our wall?" And I was talking to him, and then a couple of my students were, I said, "Oh man, Mr. Panlin, we'd like to do that with you." And I said, "Yeah, so you could maybe be involved." And I talked to the owner. So this is maybe about a block away from the middle school that I taught at. So I had an opportunity with my cooperation of the principal and the owner. I was able to take five of my students a couple of days a week up there to paint, on site. In exchange, the owner gave them whatever they wanted to eat. They had an unveiling, invited their family. The press was there for it. But I was given advice by one of the students, actually. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "If you're smart," he said, "get the kids that are the graffiti artists around town." You know, the ones mm-hmm. that, you know, said, you might not know who they are, but I could, you know, point them out. So the reason why is because most graffiti artists, they respect somebody else's tag. Like if a graffiti artist put something up, another graffiti artist wouldn't touch it because that's either say, you know, I respect what they did. That's their spot. Don't touch it. So, you know, we were able to get those students that were unknown graffiti artists at the time that worked with me on those murals. And as a result, it's still there today. And that's like 20, 30, almost 30 some years ago.
Wow.
The mural's still there.
So it's still a part of that place
right.
And its identity.
Right. So, right. And also, like I said, some of the ones in the community that where the people live in actually is probably, they're probably on their second or third generation now, and they're, you know, still having those murals up where they're at.
Okay. Well, you know, another thing that is on everybody's mind now is mental wellness, right? We all talk about self-care, making sure that we're taking care of our young and we're taking care of ourselves and are we mentally well? So how do the arts affect your mental health? I'm going to let you borrow my soapbox.
Oh, I thank you. Well, that's a really good question because from my experience as a teacher, you know, all throughout my career, I have had students come into my classroom. I've been given students to teach that other teachers and administrators say, you know, this student here has got some situations, you know, they're, you know, this, that, and the other thing, they're having some problems and they're difficult. And I said, and they respected the fact that I let them come into my classroom and they had an opportunity to be themselves and try to get their emotions, express their needs to communicate through mm-hmm. artwork. You know, some people don't communicate through
verbally.
Dance, singing, or reading
right.
or writing, but that this is just another outlet for them.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to come into my classroom, and I saw for the most part that they felt good about themselves and their situation. A lot of them, you know, we all have all sorts of situations from our history and our background, so you don't know what they're coming with. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you find out a little glimpse of it. But for the most part, you know, they came in, they were excited to be there. They look forward to their next opportunity to be there. And a lot of times what made me really happy about my profession was then they bring their parent or parents to come in and they were really proud of what they accomplished.
And
everything
that's
from
a lot.
Yeah,
that
kindergarten kids up to the high school kids. And plus, you know, you have people that might just, I think even myself, I'll be driving down the street or riding my bike down the street and I'll come across something, you know, whether it's an animal in nature or whether it's a painting on a wall that I hadn't seen before. And if I'm having a gloomy down day or whatever, you know, it just picks you up. And it's
right.
not because I'm an artist and I appreciate it. It's just, you know, that's really neat.
It's human
out.
Nature.
Right. And especially some, you know, I've been to a lot of urban settings, you know, inner city type situations where, you know, if you're walking along, you just see like a, you know, a crack in the sidewalk, a little flowers growing or a little, you know, a little stray kitty in the side of the corner, you feel bad for it. But the fact that there's nature and things around you and then, you know, to see some beautiful painting on a wall in a mm-hmm. place that's like all decrepit, ready to fall down. And, you know, so somebody that would actually take the time to do that and it uplifts your spirits to think that somebody, you know, out there sort of wants to put you in a good mood.
And I just want to talk about this really quickly. I was in Germany and Austria years and years ago. And one of the things that I loved about Bavaria was that they paint on the exterior of their homes. They do Bible scenes.
Right.
They have beautiful painting. And the whole town will have many buildings that are hand-painted.
Right.
With what Grimm's fairy tales,
yes.
whatever it is. It's just amazing. I could see you doing that. We'll station you in Germany for a while.
That'd be great. When you said Bavaria, I thought the first, I think because my appetite, the first thing came to mind.
Donuts.
Yeah, Bavarian donuts, Bavarian cream donuts. But then, you know, I agree with what you said there because,
yes.
You know, the fact that you're traveled also. I find myself personally that there's, you know, United States is coming around to, even though it's, you know, 2024, you know, all the countries I've been to, I find myself that, you know, if there's a blank wall and I had interest in doing something and I approached the owners, and a lot of times I couldn't even communicate in their language, but I, you know, would say, you know, here's, you know, an idea I have. More often than not, those owners would, you know, when I was hired or to do something, or a lot of times, you know, I've donated things, but they would say, you know, okay, here's what we do. You're the artist, use your imagination. Like they gave me carte blanche to, you know, mm-hmm. do what you're doing. But a lot of times, unfortunately, and I think that's because of their culture. Like you said, over in Bavaria, you have homes that have things painted. And so people, just like in the Aborigines, that's part of their life. But,
yes.
but here in the United States, unfortunately, I think, and it's starting to change, you know, some businesses will say, hey, so Raphael, see, we want, you know, this, we're Italian restaurant, you know, put the name of our restaurant up here really big, really big. And then, oh yeah, if you want to put a couple little things here and there, but yeah, real big. And I said, I'm not a sign painter. I said, really? I said, but people know your name. They know what it is. But I said, why not be like, you know, if you're an Italian restaurant over in Italy, all the places that I've painted there, it's artwork. It's something,
yes.
like you said, something that ties them with them, the place, the place, the person, the experience,
yes.
and the food and the name of it. That's something that's like behind them. So every place I've been overseas, they welcome the fact that I'm the artist, even though By all means, I don't have as much training as they might think I have. You know, I can do, you know, God gave me the ability to do the work I do. And
yes,
I've had
did,
really,
yes.
really great instructors and, you know, from talking to other artists. So I don't take all the credit of it. But the fact that they respect the fact that, hey, you know, that put something up there that you can do instead mm-hmm. of put the sign up that we want.
So, right. Well, unfortunately, and I could sit here and talk to you all afternoon.
Especially the way I talk, my in-laws, they say I could talk the ears off an elephant. So
yes, true. And you really could. But it's been such a pleasure talking with you about urban art, street art, your talent. I know you have a project coming up here in PA. Good luck with that. I don't think you need it because it's going to be fabulous and we're all going to get a chance to see it. And I'm actually going to ask you to forward me a couple samples of some of your murals that you've done so that I can share them with the listeners that come onto our
great.
Website.
So, yeah, and I just want to thank you for taking the time with your audience to, you know, bring light to all these different things that are interesting and important to our communities. So thank you, Laura.
No, you're welcome. It's fun for me. So again, I've been with Ralph Pantalone, originally from Greensburg, and now kind of splits his time between Greensburg and Florida, but he is a extraordinary mural painter. If you see a beautiful mural in a building, I would say 9 times out of 10, it's going to belong to Ralph. So thank you for your time, Ralph, and this has been my newest podcast. Thanks for joining me today.